Welcome, everybody, to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. This is a special season dedicated to the tribe of the mother. But also, I know any mothers listening will find this extremely valuable. I've created each episode to offer simple, digestible, and supportive information, which I hope will educate and inspire anyone who listens. So this is by popular demand. Please help us to educate and support the tribe holding the mother. Look forward to passionate and highly knowledgeable guests dedicated to reclaiming the essence of birth and embracing conscious parenting. Throughout our time together, our guests will serve as the guiding voices, illuminating the path towards a deeper understanding of preconception, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. This is with the mother and the baby being the center of the exploration. In the show notes, you'll discover the link to Nourished Mother Package, which will offer many different resources to complement each episode. This is free for all members in the women's circle or £33 for everybody who just wants to purchase the package. A heartfelt thank you to our incredible guests and immense gratitude to my partner for supporting me on this creation. And finally, last but not least, special thank you to Araya, my daughter, for being the endless well of inspiration. Welcome everybody to this space. I am your host, Danielle. I want to welcome you if you are listening to the podcast and also if you're watching me on video from our Nourished Mothers Package. Let us just take a moment to tune in to our body. Where are we at today? How does it feel to rest here in your physical body? How does it feel as you pass through your senses, the sounds that are around you, the clothes on your skin, the things that you can smell in the environment, maybe what tastes are in your mouth, and feeling that breath move in and out of your body, sending deep love, for showing up to be curious, following that curiosity, that spark of inspiration, and giving deep, deep thanks to everyone who has walked this path before us and really gone on an adventure, an exploration to let truth rise up so that we can get to know our physical body more deeply and learn how to make space for our emotions and how to have uncomfortable conversations and how to do that deeper, deeper healing work. So I'm not sure if you can hear in the background, but a big truck's just passed by. So I'm not sure if the mic is like pure quality and you can't hear that and I should never have mentioned it. But just so you know, I'm in Costa Rica and sometimes some big trucks keep passing by. So that's what that was. Anyway, wait. So yes, we've got incredible guests coming through to go deeper into these topics. And so we will be exploring the physiological needs of both the mother and the father and also laying this groundwork for conception. And like I just mentioned, it's not just the physical. There's all these layers of our being that come into count in this life experience and our ancestral line through the collective consciousness, what is passing around us, what is molding our beliefs around childbirth, of being a mother, of being a father. So we go into all these areas and I've tried to break it down so that it won't be overwhelming and that it will continue to feed this fire of curiosity throughout. But if you feel that you would like me or someone else to go deeper into a certain topic, then please let us know because, yeah, we can explore that for sure. This was created from a gap in my own knowledge and just everything that's come up through becoming a new mother. This podcast, if you don't know, has been running for over 2 years now, which is, how did that even happen? So just to let you know, like reflecting on my own journey, I became unexpectedly pregnant. I mean, I was having unprotected sex. But let me just say, like, sometimes I have this feeling inside, like, oh, I wish that I had that moment in time before Araya was conceived to learn more about preconception health. And I came to realize very quickly that fertility health is really just body health. And I was grieving because I didn't have a relationship with my menstrual cycle. I didn't know the language of my body. So through learning these practices and integrating them, not just, so yes, becoming educated, but also having the time to practice them in the day is the most important, because then you get this full body knowing about something, and it's not just words. So before Raya was conceived, I met her dad 6 months before, and I was not expecting to become pregnant. But what I did notice is 2 months before Araya was conceived, I started to be really deeply curious about my womb and my relationship with my womb. So I began to do womb practices. I started to look into nutrition for my menstrual cycle, what happens during my menstrual cycle, what is happening in my pelvis. This all came alive around 2 months before, because I was really seeing that the practices that I was doing in my yoga practice was very much towards the male body. And I wanted to know about my wonderful female body. So yeah, I think I just became super fertile. And within a few months, I became pregnant. So yes, what a beautiful journey. But we are going to get into this first episode. And this is really laying the foundation for what we're going to get into. And it's coming from a beautiful book that I read last year, which is Awakening Fertility. And so this book really just reminded me that optimum fertility is actually just really vibrant health. And for many of us, it's something that we haven't been introduced to during our life. The menstrual cycle has been something that has been seen as a hindrance, something that is dirty, something that we don't really speak about. So within that blocking off from our body, we also lose so much information and so much vibrancy. So we'll start with this topic for now, just kind of laying the groundwork so that we can go much deeper with this conversation. Where to begin? So this book, like I mentioned, Awakened Fertility, I'll leave the link in the show notes because I just feel that it was such a good foundation for starting with. And I found it really inspiring, extremely educational, and really easy to digest. And I just feel like it's a book that every woman, whether they're hoping to conceive or not, could benefit from, because it's really just about getting to know the language of our body during the times that we are menstruating. But what I also came to realize was when we can tune into our cycle, when we can honor our menarche, our first bleed, when we can honor each month when we need to rest, when our body is calling for rest, this also supports us going into postpartum. And then it supports us as we go through menopause, different phases in life. And I also realized it helped me when I was going through the grief of the death of my brother, because I allowed myself to rest, which is one of the things that I feel is not something that is encouraged or praised in our society. It's definitely changing. If you follow the right people, it's encouraged. But for sure, this linear way of living is still very much dominating our human existence. So the book really shares on all the levels of our being, not just physical, but emotional, mental, and spiritual as well, because these all play a really important part. And it's talking about getting to know our body, getting to know the rhythm of her. So for women, we move through these different phases every month. For men, they go through different phases, different waves within each day. I wanted to say that because I think sometimes there is this forgetting that men also, their hormones also fluctuate. So in the morning, testosterone is a lot higher than in the evening. And so just knowing that can help to come together and have this life experience, understanding what is happening internally. And I feel like because of this disconnect, even though it's happening inside of us, sometimes we still don't know because the mind has its own expectations based off what we've been born into in this world. So getting to know our rhythm through educating ourselves and through the practice of listening and implementing different practices, which could be nutrition, movement, meditations, whatever it is, we'll come to discover all of these different areas as we go through these conversations. And like I mentioned, it's forgotten because it's still there. We know it. We're born with this innate wisdom. And so, yeah, we just have to remember it. And it's not because we didn't want to know when we came into this world. It's just because we were born into an environment, many of us, that has not valued the natural rhythms of the body and encourages to disconnect. There is a celebration for hyper-individualism, which really forgets our connection to everything. Everything is targeted towards self-healing and separation when actually we are part of the greater whole. And once we get to understand ourselves and we also honor healthy boundaries, but we come to remember that we are part of this collective movement. We are all interlinked. Then we can hold that and feel supported. No longer have to feel alone. So, yes. The other point I wanted to add was the idea that our body is sick and that needs to be fixed. And why is this? Well, if you look at the medical system, it thrives off of our perceived sickness. There is not time, there is not training for a lot of the medical system in holistic care or levels of being. It's mainly targeted to removing the symptoms, but not understanding the root of it. So it moves humans away from their natural ability to heal within themselves, within community, within nature, and puts our health in the hands of somebody else who is only looking for symptoms. I am not saying that the medical system is, that individuals in the medical system are bad or that aren't there through a heart desire. But I do know from working in the medical system myself, I was a nurse in the military. I worked in different areas and I noticed very early on, I do not have the time to sit and be with each person. They became a name in a folder, name attached to medication. And I had tasks to do. I had to tick them off or I would be the one who had the weight coming down from me from above. And I would be made to feel bad that I was not complete in my tasks. It's really hard to show up in that kind of environment. So I know that I've been there for many, many years. This kind of moved me towards the holistic field of seeing each person as an individual and unique because of their background, because of their beliefs for what is arising. And that to me was, wow, it just opened this door to so much that I didn't know. And there was another grief again, because I know in many cultures around the world, this is just a given that we are connected, that we are holistic beings with so many different facets. So it's not one size fits all. And it's not that to take away pain, to take away symptoms is really taking away the messages from the body, taking us away from what is actually happening. Where is this manifestation coming from? So from this grief and sadness came the curiosity, and I have never looked back. So coming back to our body and taking the step closer inwards, it is this homecoming. I see it as a homecoming. Welcome home. Hey, what have you got to tell me? And it's a beautiful, maybe sometimes uncomfortable, maybe sometimes painful, maybe sometimes confusing, unfolding. And when practiced in partnership, it also allows for this different aspect of healing and growing together. And wow, the birds are so loud. I don't know if you can hear that outside as well. But by coming back to partnership, in partnership, seeing one another, reflecting to one another, reminding one another, it becomes this practice of working through different horizons to take time to come back, to truly find out what is happening and include practices to bring you back to harmony, or just to remind us to just observe, come into stillness, what is really happening here, asking these questions curiously, and then taking steps together to, whether it's physical, work through physical arisings or emotional arisings, fears, confusion, questions, just bring them to the table and with this deep loving awareness, holding them and finding the way to untangle them so things become a little bit more clearer. And working with conscious communication is a really good thing to practice. Conscious communication was not a skill that I was ever taught. It is something that I work on every single day. And practicing this prior to baby arriving is the greatest gift, because there is, you are going through this rite of passage where you're going from the known to the unknown. For the mother, you're going from the maiden to the mother. Whether it's your first or second, there's still aspects that you transition over this bridge and this new version of yourself. So yeah, like as we cross over and these new things in our environment start to come up, how can we come to communicate our needs in a way that is nourishing for the whole family, in a way that isn't destructive or violent or neglectful? So these communication skills are a way to express what is happening on the inside in a way that is clear to ourselves and to others. And then we can meet one another more deeply. And when we notice our triggers, or when we even notice we've been hijacked and we throw something across the room, or we say something that is really not in line with the heart, we both understand, or we understand in that partnership, that the other person will take the time to do the work to understand what arose in that moment, and that they will take responsibility for their actions. And there will be this exploration to see which need hasn't been met or which past wound is being triggered in these moments. So I also just want to say that before we go any deeper, even though I've gone 20 minutes in, whatever I share here, I'm obviously coming from my own perspective through my own lens. And if there's any blind spots, I just want to apologize. And you, of course, can message me and tell me like, hey, you're wording around this, or this made me feel like this because you know, I didn't feel seen in the words that you were saying. Please just let me know, because I am learning all the time on how to hold this space. So whatever I do share in this episode, we will go more deeply into in another episode or within the Nourish Mother package, which if you're watching the video, you're already in. If you're on the podcast, you can go to the show notes and find it. It's only £33. I think that's around $40. I'm not sure what the exchange rate right now. So let us just think about a menstrual cycle for a moment. Whether you are listening and you do not have a menstrual cycle, whether you're the partner that does not have a menstrual cycle, or you're one of the family members, first of all, the exploration starts with what are our thoughts around the menstrual cycle, and especially around our bleed, because that is the thing that comes into the present that we can see, that is tangible, that is a sign of our fertility, that is a sign of our health. So what is our bleed trying to tell us is a really beautiful question. And what messages can we receive from what we see, what we smell, maybe what you taste if that is in your practice, how it feels when the blood is releasing from your womb, because these messages can act as signposts showing us where in our life we might be out of balance. So for many, our relationship with our menstrual cycle has been non-existent for a majority of our life, or there's been a great distance or resistance and misunderstanding from the messages that we're given. because the world that I was brought up into, it was really encouraged to take hormonal contraception. And I remember going into the clinic when I was around 13 years old. I think I'd been on my my menstrual cycle arrived around probably 6 months before. But as I started to bleed, I thought that going on the hormonal contraception and controlling my menstrual cycle was a way to step into adulthood, because that's all that I saw. And I also saw my menstrual cycle as a risk of pregnancy, which I did not want to experience. So I went on the pill very early on, and I went on for around 10 years, and I would sometimes take pack after pack and not experience my bleed, especially in the military, which I joined at 15, because it really felt like a hindrance and it felt dirty and it felt embarrassing. So there was many things that I had to work through, but I came off the pill. I have this in another episode as well, more deeply going into this. We have a conversation with Dana, who really talks about transitioning off of hormonal contraception, and that will be coming up. But I just wanted to say this, because that reconnection through the disconnection through synthetic hormones, where our body and our senses are being numbed, blinded by these synthetic messages, it takes time, it takes gentleness to come back to listen, and it might make no sense. So that's why we did this episode that I will release in the future, where it's like this transitional time to get back to know your body, because it can be quite scary as you come back to your natural hormonal rhythm. So yes, I really feel this one is close to my heart because I experienced it. So just curious about your own experience with hormonal contraception. When did you start? When was it offered to you? Why was it offered to you? All of these things, just starting to bring this into your awareness. And if you're someone that doesn't have menstrual cycles, what do you feel about what do you feel about blood? What do you feel about menstrual cycle? What are your taught beliefs around this growing up? Or what have your previous partners shared with you, or even the partner you're with now? What is the information that we have? And this is not about good or bad or any of that stuff. It's just what is present. What is present? What is guiding our beliefs? And this world that I was brought into, for many of us were brought into, really encouraged this linear way of living, which the hormonal contraception offered. It offered this flat line in our physical phases, in the menstrual cycles, this flat line. And for me, emotions as well, and spiritually as well, this flat line showing up the same every day. And we don't just get this in our menstrual cycle, but if you look at the way that there's an expectation of humans to show up every day, 9 to 5, at school, every day, 9 to 3 or 4, Monday to Friday. And then Saturday or Sunday, there's something else that we expect. And so this linear way of living, showing up the same every single day, is really another way that we become disconnected from the needs of our body. So as we come back to our menstrual cycle, it can be as this reminder to pull our awareness within and choose a way of life that nourishes us and aligns with our natural rhythm. So you might find that some things have to give, some things have to change. And all of the time, it's asking the question, what best serves me and my health in these moments, or my family? And there'll be some things that, you know, maybe you can't just leave your job, of course, like that's a big thing, or maybe there are commitments. But what resources do you have, or what time can you offer yourself to tune in, to check in, to give yourself time to rest? And we will go through tips and tools of how to do this as well throughout. So as I mentioned before, just giving a shout out to the men. Men's testosterone levels fluctuate throughout the day, and this has been done through many different studies. And I just feel like this understanding of the physiological differences between men and women help to guide us back to optimal health and kind of coexist together. So for many traditions around the world, they have understood the benefits of a menstrual cycle. And they have understood that there is this deep need for our body to be nourished, that there is this deep need for us to change our rhythms of living throughout each phase. So this warm, nourishing food, this rest during our bleed, the body work, being with ourselves, like really coming home to ourselves and being supported and surrounded and just taking, being able to take that time during our bleed to go inwards, to retreat inwards. And I really feel that because this rest is often overlooked and underestimated in the modern world, we can start to see signs and symptoms arise in our physical body, in our mental health, in our emotional connection to humans around us, and to our spiritual connection too, which is very unique for everyone. So when there was a point in my life that I realized, oh my God, I'm not supposed to have high energy all the way through the month, all the way through my life. And I came to see that, oh, it makes sense why sometimes I have a really high libido. I have an attraction to going out and to interacting and to creating. This was ovulation. And then there's other times when I just feel like I want to hide away and I don't want to go out into the world. There's sometimes when my dreams are more intense. There's other times that I don't dream. And just by following, really tracking your cycle, you can see, I could see for myself that during different fluctuations, of my hormones, different arisings happened. My life experience changed. So during the follicular phase, I noticed my energy start to rise up and peak. I noticed that I wanted to go out more. And before I was in a relationship, to go party. And, you know, like my body would be seeking out a man to procreate with. So bring life in. I didn't see that at the time. I'm just partying, you know, I'm flirting and my libido was getting higher. But then I did notice after that a drop. So as estrogen drops and progesterone rises, I did notice I wanted to go in. I wanted to go in my cave and I definitely didn't want to go to work and do training for marathons or whatever I was doing in the army, which was the thing that I did. I trained for really hard events. I had to show up to be a speaker a lot. I was the person that I was holding a lot of other people. I was a leader in the military. That was one of my roles. So I just didn't know why I was feeling depressed, why my body was starting to just feel like it wanted to break down. I had a lot of mental health arisings where I just felt like there was something wrong with me and I never looked at the environment, at the system, which I think is something in our world that there is this light that shines into us. We're doing something wrong. What are we doing? But there is this forgetting. We are living in a world that is highly polluted. That is being, we are being fed so much crap constantly. We are sensitive to the wars, to the abuse, to the neglect, not only of people, but to the earth as well. And this is, for me, I find this practice of holding the space for my body, for my emotions, and also being able to observe and watch and love everything else that passes through that I maybe don't understand because maybe it's not mine as an individual, but as a collective, yes. So I don't know if this is something you have explored before. I really hope that we can stay with an open mind with this curiosity. And I also know that it can awaken a lot. Or maybe this stuff is just like, yeah, I don't want to listen to it. And that's fine too. Everything, just being here together, we are exploring. And like I said, I would love to hear your insights as well, because I feel like that is the way that we grow through one another's curiosity also. So, oh, another thing that I found very interesting. So being connected to my bleed, I used to use tampons a lot, probably filled with chemicals and crap. Like, and then I was like, okay, well, and now I'm going to be more without my body, like less toxins. So I started to use cups. I didn't really know what was in them either. So after a while, I found myself using charcoal pads. I love them. I think they're amazing. I still use them now. And what I came to realize was when I was able to see my blood, when I could feel it, when I could see the color of her, when I could see if there was any clots, when I could see if it was heavy at the beginning or towards the end, this really gave me a deep insight to what was happening within me. or what I'd experienced during that month, because our bleed shows us. For example, when I have gone through the grief of my brother's death, which you're going to hear probably a lot as I go through because it was the biggest thing that happened, but my period was so painful for 2 months after that. It was heavy. It was clotted. And as I sat and I listened, I knew this was a reflection of the pain that I had just been through. So it was saying, hey, can we rest more? How can you nourish yourself more deeply? It offers this beautiful guidance. And I feel like when you're exploring the menstrual cycle in partnership, this is where you have this ally. The blood is like a reminder. So as you communicate about this and you share, because we might miss sometimes what is happening, and you know, we might have the pain, but we don't link it to what's just happened that month or that month before. But with someone there, they can say, hey, you know, you went through a really rough time last month, you know, and this is just the expression of that. Let's love it together. Big shout out to our sponsor, Evolving Humans, who are the pioneers for energy healing. This practice that I was taught 4 years ago has been studied by researchers all around the world to provide evidence of the physiological effects of energy healing. And I'm not just saying this because it's a promotion, but I have used this practice every single day for 4 years. And personally, I've noticed the most impact in my emotional state. This energy practice taught me how to feel energy in my body and observe the sensations. The technique involves you using your hand and connecting to the energy field within your body. And with this gentle, loving awareness that you bring to the table, everything is seen and loved. The whole being comes into alignment. During the birth of my daughter, I tore, and the discomfort that I was experiencing with this tear started to ease up dramatically when I would use this technique. In the show notes, you'll find the link to Evolving Humans so that you can explore this healing technique, which is available through a course that you can join today. Another way that I have connected deeply to my menstrual cycle is by following her. So as I mentioned before, the hormones will fluctuate, and we go into this in another episode much more deeply. If you're in the package, you'll be able to see a video where there is a chart, a graph, where you can see the movements of the hormones, which is really very helpful. And we have a menstrual cycle awareness video in there too. But just to kind of round it up, I follow my cycle by observing the cervical mucus, which changes throughout the month. It starts to become more visible and sticky, peaking at kind of an egg white consistency when at the peak of the estrogen. And this is really to welcome the sperm in. And the sperm can live up to 5 days in the cervical mucus. So when I see cervical mucus, I say I'm fertile. That is the sign for me, one of the signs. And we're going to talk about this much more, about why the cervical mucus might come at different times of the month and why it might you might be seeing different signs within your cervical mucus of hormone imbalances as well. I also check my temperature every morning at the same time before I get out of bed. This is basal body temperature. So I put my thermometer under my tongue. I will give you a link for the one that I use. And then I put it under my tongue and I get my temperature, and I can see the changes of the temperature throughout the month. So what I see that I'm looking for on my chart, when you do this, you'll see your own chart. I can see that after ovulation, as progesterone rises, my temperature starts to rise up again. And think of progesterone as this hormone that is welcoming in this potential fertilized egg and keeping it warm and cozy and supporting its development. So that's why the temperature starts to rise. Another way is to feel where your cervix is. So this was a very new practice for me. We had a great conversation on the cervix coming up, which I absolutely loved, because she was able to explain how the cervix actually moves to one side, which is changing the cervix position. It does this because of the hormone changes in the body. So you can feel that at different times in your cycle, your cervix is mulched. So it's the cervix is kind of like the gateway to the womb, right? Like the opening into the uterus. It is part of the uterus. It is the neck of it, but it opens up this portal. So it changes with the different hormones that are present at the time. And it also moves up and it moves down. So you can actually insert your finger and you can feel it. Yet I know that for many, this relationship with cervix is one to be built up over time because it is so closely linked to our nervous system and our pelvis is holding so much about our existence and our creative and sexual energy. So can, even though we've spoken a lot about the physiological connection, it's really all aspects of our being, especially because there's two human beings coming together to merge, to create life. So how safe do we feel in that relationship? Do we feel that our needs are being met? Do we feel like we're heard? We are being heard? Do we feel like we understand ourselves, what is going in our emotions that are arising? Do we know how to communicate them in a way that is nourishing for us and the people around us as well? Because we are stepping into this space where there is a requirement for surrender and trust. So in the moments where we are fully merging, we are asked to release the walls. We are asked to show up. And that may sound really spiritual, but actually, as you soften, as you feel safe, so does your whole body. You open to receive the penis. You open to receive your partner. You are well lubricated, which supports the journey of the sperm. And it takes around 40 to 45 minutes for the woman to be fully aroused and engorged. So that, just saying that, 40 to 45 minutes, I know some of you will be like, what? I know I was, but this is what our body is asking for. And so how can we show up in that time with full presence? It's like a meditation, right? Without our mind going off and saying, oh, I need to do the cooking, or I've got to do the cleaning, or whatever it is. Carving out that time for these moments together. And also if things arise, how can I say if I like something, if I don't like something? What if I don't want to have sex at this time? Maybe you're on your period and you do not want to be touched. You want to be in your cave. So how can your partner take responsibility for his own needs as well and having them conversations? So it's all about how open can we get with our own needs and holding space for the others. Even if you notice you are disgusted or annoyed or frustrated, just notice them emotions come up. And you can share them and explore, well, why do I feel like that? Is there a belief around masturbation or around having sex during my bleed or whatever comes up, you know? Just exploring a little bit more, like what is my deep underlying beliefs around this? So with your partner, there are some questions that you can ask. I'm going to leave them in the show notes or underneath this video so that you can explore more deeply this topic and get to understand where you're at with this. And I just feel like these dream reflections and questions just really help to, yeah, deepen your relationship and get to know one another. So thank you so much for being here, and I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please offer me any feedback, and also I would love if you're listening to the podcast to give me a little review. It really, really helps. All right, until next time. Bye.